The roles are reversed. 10 guys competing for the hearts of one woman, Miss Wright. But who Miss Wright chooses has our panel divided. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Man, another wild ride, another crazy episode of the proposal episode 2. Team Sam, right?
Team Sam, except
someone here on the panel who's sitting
okay,
to my left.
Listen, I was Team Sam from the very beginning. I called it from the beginning. She's going to end up with that guy the moment he walked out. I called it. But this is what happened. My alliances changed towards the end.
Well, we'll hear all about that tonight on another episode. We are live here on YouTube. Guys, thank you so much for joining us. Got a lot of people joining us in the chat. We're excited to hear your thoughts. Tune in. We're also excited to just talk about a lot of stuff tonight. This was not the episode that was supposed to air. We have news. We have social media. What's going on there with our previous couple? And then, obviously, we have a fun segment for you guys at the very end. Again, I am your host, Michael Klaus. You can follow me on Instagram and on Twitter at TheOnlyMC, joined by some lovely ladies.
Hey, everyone. I'm Mina, and you can follow me on Instagram at MinaMakesMagic.
Hey, what's up, everyone? I am so excited to be here to talk all things proposal. I am Lauren Ashley.
Hey, everyone. I'm Lauren Pacheco, and you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Lauren T. Pacheco.
Fantastic. Again, this was episode 2, but this was not the episode that we were expecting to see tonight. If you did not know about the bomb that was dropped last week, it happened that a girl who knew a contestant who was on this supposed episode came out and did a Facebook post talking about... I'm trying to think of the best way to describe this. They say that a male contestant was accused of enabling date rape, I think is the best way to say it. So she came out and said that a guy who was a contestant introduced her to two guys who she alleges date raped her, said that they met on Twitter before exiting the bar. He exited the bar, left her with the two guys. Her full post describes the alleged incident, said that she referenced 5 hours of, quote, unspeakable treatment, and that he, I guess, admitted that he was a part of this. And so they decided to pull this. ABC and Warner issued a joint statement, said, quote, an allegation has been made against a contestant on next week's episode, this week, of The Proposal. While the accusation was not related to a contestant's appearance on the program, we take it very seriously. ABC and the producers of The Proposal are pulling the episode while this matter is under review. How do you guys, first, your reaction to that taking place? We have a lot big show to get to, but this is obviously probably the biggest news with the show. Reaction, and then reaction of ABC's kind of actions of pulling it.
You know, I read her statement, and I totally understand where she's coming from. She went into vivid detail about what had happened, and she said that... that on a different forum, she went into even more detail so she could warn people about this guy who was facilitating this type of sexual assault, which is so scary to think that, oh, there can be a person who can, like, lure you into some trap and then leave, and you're left with two men in their 50s who's going to spike a drink and date rape you. What I thought was interesting, I mean, some people might say, like, hey, there's no need to get rid of, you know, the episode or the show, but the way she expressed it was, you know, how would you feel if you went through something so traumatic and you have to turn on the TV and see this person's face when you had to endure that level of trauma and, you know, being raped and seeing this guy's face who facilitated this entire transaction? Like, that's jarring. That's, like, in a way setting you back to where you were before when that happened, after you've taken all these steps to kind of move past this type of trauma. So in a way, that's very triggering. It's essentially post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. In a way. So I am totally on her side. I don't think they should air the episode. I'm on ABC's side where, you know, I feel like in this day and age, networks like ABC are becoming even more strict. Even if it's the littlest thing, they're not going to let something slide until they have all of the details and they know what to do moving forward, because that is very triggering, and they don't want to set the wrong example or set a standard that, you know, is going to get a ton of backlash and therefore, you know, significantly impact ratings.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the thing that's so commendable. No matter what the outcome is, they want to nip it in the bud before they even find out exactly what happened. I think that's important for her healing and her recovery mm-hmm. from this circumstance. I think a lot of people probably wouldn't consider that a crime, but it's definitely important to shed light that even if you're facilitating these types of meetings, that you are committing a crime. You know, it's just heartbreaking that she had to deal with that, and I'm thankful that they didn't, that they pulled it and they didn't air mm-hmm. it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, there's no way you can't pull the episode. It's just, it's way too messy. That man should be in jail, by the way. Like, mm-hmm. that's a crime, a horrible crime that he's committing, so well, I don't know what's going to happen.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. We're not sure.
Yes.
The action is terrible if it took place. I just want to give him the benefit of the doubt. Totally. Alleged,
absolutely.
Based yes. on what.
Innocent. Of course. I mean, so. Don't want to send an innocent man in jail, yeah. but if it actually happened, which they're not sure yet, I guess, yeah. if that's true.
See, and that's kind of the thing, though, now. It's like people are being ridiculed and taken to the stake before we actually know what's going totally. On. So that's also a scary reality because we don't know the circumstance. We don't yep. know what happened. Mm-hmm. And no matter what, this man's reputation is going to be ruined.
Although she went yeah. into yeah. some mm-hmm. pretty detail, like,
And here's yeah. the thing. I totally agree with you. I totally agree that, you know, our justice system is run innocent until proven guilty. However, it's very rare that someone is going to make up something that specific and put themselves in a situation where they're describing themselves as the victim in a situation, because it's hard enough as is for, you know, victims of sexual assault to come forward. So, you know, I'd like to give someone the benefit of the doubt and, like, hear their story and still, like, you know, keep it at, like, innocent until proven guilty, but let's not, like, to underplay that, to someone that point, else's though, story Mina, or accusation.
To that point, though, I will say there's another popular television show, Catfish, and this same thing happened, mm-hmm. and it came out that there was nothing that they could prove. And unfortunately, I think Neve's reputation got ruined mm-hmm. in the process of that after investigating it. So it's like,
yeah. yeah, I think what they did was better safe than sorry, and are like, we're just washing our hands with this altogether, saying mm-hmm. we're not making a decision, we're just going to pull it, people can make whatever decision they want. Like you said, the guy's name was plastered over, I'm not going to mention his name, if what he did actually happened, terrible, absolutely horrendous, I mean, the description, absolutely ridiculous, and unconscionable of what he actually did, but I think, yeah, better safe than sorry. I did hear and read that he didn't even make it past the first round,
right?
Which is interesting. If you don't even make it past the first round, you don't even get to speak. Mm-hmm. So I did find it interesting of if they hadn't have said anything, he's on for 30 seconds, and what happens to the actual couple that would have been featured? And I'm really curious.
Yeah, are they going to show
anything? Find out what happened to them?
Right. right. Absolutely. And their love story, if a proposal did come out of that, it mm-hmm. would have been nice to see, you know, the outcome. But
you know what they could do? They could definitely put that weird graphic on his face.
Right. Just blur him out yeah. and then let the rest of the contestants participate.
That would be
participate.
The best use of that terrible right. graphic they've been using.
That's Can the they just cut him out if he was cut out of the first round? Isn't there a way to just not show him, like, walking down the stairs and saying his name?
But if you think of how they're standing, he's kind of in front of other people.
Yeah. That's right. So then we need the graphic. So we cut out part and then
that is the put the graphic on. It is the creepiest graphic.
It is Slender so weird. Man or something
I feel
weird,
like I'm watching a commercial for some, like, Cialis or
I
something.
I know. I've seen people on Twitter, they're comparing him to the Silver Surfer.
That's exactly what he looks like. Or she. Yes. In some cases.
Well, it's interesting, too, because the show originally is 10 episodes. So do you think they will fill another episode at the end, or you think we'll be down to 9 now?
No, I think filming has already taken place, so it's either going to be 9 or some weird
what if we
special
get like
segment.
A yeah like a special on like the relationships
like
and
an after
progress.
The rose
yeah.
for
that,
yeah. this
that
show
would be
yeah. proposal yeah,
yeah
after the proposal rose. And then everyone comes back who's still a couple
yes and then we're so invested so we want to know
yeah
all the
fantastic,
details
fantastic fantastic well let's jump ahead to this episode because it was a crazy episode. We're all watching, we're all thinking that we have our favorite. Again, Team Sam. From the beginning, you were Team Sam. So who from the beginning stood out? Was it Sam the whole time for all of us?
Sam stood out more than anybody else from the very beginning because as cliche as it sounds, I was like, okay, she's like a country girl. She likes country music. She has a kid. She's really sweet. Seems down to earth. And I'm like, oh my God, he's so adorable. I want to pinch his cheeks. He seems like, you know, like a good, I don't know, like just like an innocent, sweet stand-up guy. Just from, like, that very initial first impression mm-hmm. based on nothing.
Some guys stood out for other reasons, though, like Evan with hyping up the crowd and really his Lord of the Rings spiel and all of that. He was very excited. And funny. I mean, I felt hyped up when he was doing that little dance move.
And then I'll also say Mickey Blue Eyes. What was his name? Samuel?
So we had two Sams.
Yeah,
the other Samuel. I mean, I noticed him right away because of those eyes.
Sam W., yes, I believe, was his name. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and his little song was great.
Law student, wedding DJ.
Yes.
Hey-o.
Yeah, he was a triple threat.
Right. Wedding DJ, triple threat. Go, Sam.
I like Lord of the Rings guy a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know, because she was awkward in a way. Like, part of, like, what you were saying was, it was just so funny. I feel like he owned all of his, like, Lord of the Rings obsession with so much confidence, where I was like,
he definitely
yes.
was comfortable in his own skin.
Yeah.
Well, we'll talk about what happened, and obviously more about Lord of the Rings guy. You guys are watching the show on AfterBuzz's, like, reality TV show, and this is just one of many shows that we offer here on AfterBuzz. Dozens of hours of content for you guys. Every show, basically, that is on TV, YouTube, Netflix, we offer an after show to be able to discuss these forums, dramas, reality shows, sci-fi. But we need your help. We want to be able to help offer this stuff to you and be able to let you guys know about this. So we're asking you to please subscribe. That little red button, just hit that subscribe button. As YouTubers say, smash the subscribe button. Besides helping us, here's what it gives you guys. You get notified with specific content that is directly related to you. It brings you and your favorite after shows together. You don't have to seek them out. And it suggests content from other channels or podcasts that you might be interested. Again, this all comes to you. This is not work that you need to do. Subscribing to our YouTube channels will also help you discover new shows that we're sure you love. And since you're already tuned into this reality show, you might be interested in others. Obviously, The Bachelor, The Bachelorette, Bachelor in Paradise, several other shows that you might be very interested in. The Housewives, all right here. And remember, we have channels for other genres too. Any show basically that is on internet and on TV, we have an after show to talk about it. And if you're worried about those pesky notifications, because we all are, we sign up for something, we think we're going to get bombarded, don't worry. It's easy. You click them off. It's easy. Just hit that subscribe button right now for an easier AfterBuzz TV experience. And let us know in the comments, because we love hearing from you guys, how we can best serve you. So they start out with the 10, and it's interesting, this time they bring it down to 6 people mm-hmm. instead of 7. Those 6 people that we have are Jeremy, Jordan, Leo, Sam, Evan, and another Sam from Indiana, and then those 6 get to do the swimsuit competition. Overall, guys versus girls, to kind of comparing last week to this week, did the guys seem as comfortable as the girls, do you think, starting out?
I don't think so.
No? Why do you say that?
It seemed awkward.
Yeah, they seemed very awkward.
Yeah.
And I feel like girls, too, are just more ready for that. Like, I think some of these guys could have benefited from getting a little bit of a tan. Hello. I was like, you're going to be in a swimsuit. You know you're going to be in a swimsuit. And you didn't try very hard. Like, just a little bit of a tan. Like, I feel like girls just, you know, they know how to get ready for those sorts of things more than guys. Guys are just like, oh, these old swim trunks. I'll put these on. Like, whatever. Like, I'm sure the girls went out and bought their own bathing suits. Like, really made themselves, like, look their best. And guys are just like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Unless they live in L.A., in which case.
That's they want to be pretty.
Yeah. In L.A., guys know what to do.
But we had some,
Jordan looked good, though. I mean, he wore his tank top, his tennis shoes. He was very comfortable. And I thought it was so cute how he was like, I still have some winter weight from 2015. Like, I felt
fantastic.
Yes.
I thought it was really cute.
So thoughts as a girl, when you're watching these guys, you see a guy come out. A couple guys were pretty fit. Is that good, or is that, you almost wonder why they're so fit and are they too addicted to fitness?
Interesting question.
I think it has to do, too, with the personality that goes with it. Like, Leo came out, was very fit, mm-hmm. but just so cheesy and not real, and I think that kind of went with his body type almost, mm-hmm. like, very just into his physical looks, and there was nothing really that deep about him.
He almost seemed too cocky, I thought.
Yes, yeah. I wasn't into Leo.
He was very comfortable, too, on that stage. Out of all the... I felt like he was very comfortable and was speaking with his hands. And, like, he knew he looked good on that stage, you know? Like, he was feeling himself a little bit.
Which there's honestly nothing wrong with. But there is a fine line between confidence and arrogance. And I think it's very hard to, like... I mean, just that little extra inch makes a huge difference where,
every inch it's matters. Kidding. Terrible joke. You threw up the softball. I had to hit it.
Yeah, it was a hard ball.
I thought Sam's song really stole the show. I mean.
I mean, if you're a unicorn, that's who you're looking for.
I was dying.
He's looking for a unicorn.
He was just a little too serious. A little too serious.
Well, give him, I mean, listen, the guy came out and sang in front of millions of people. Kudos to him for having the confidence to do that. And his little, can I get a snap?
Yeah. Did he know that she's a singer?
If you're gonna do something like that, you better be Whitney freaking Houston.
Don't
do that if you're just, like, okay or mediocre. Right.
But there could be something that's endearing about that.
You either have to be really bad at it or really good at it. It can't be, like, you're, like, kind of good. Because then it's, like, then we're expecting greatness here instead of it just being, like, a cheesy, like, you're having fun with it and making a fool of yourself. Then that's fine. That's kind of cute and endearing. But when you're trying really hard to actually be, like, legit... a professional singer, then I'm like, I'm dying
over here.
That's
what I'm talking about.
Do you think he was trying to be, like, legit? Or do you think he was just trying to be cute?
No, I think he was trying hard to be like, oh, like, I have this sexy, sultry voice, and I'm gonna woo her with it.
Yes.
Woo her by unicorn. Takes all kinds to make up the world.
The lyrics, the voice, I think it was all...
He had, like, he was beautiful, though.
Yeah, I mean, beautiful man. He had amazing eyes.
Well, Sam White might have been beautiful, but he was not beautiful enough for Ashley. He did not make it to the next round. Mm-hmm. Jeremy, Jordan, Leo, and Sam then get to kind of answer questions of what matters most to Ashley. And she comes out of the gate talking about her 5-year-old boy. I think the first question was to Sam talking about the 5-year-old boy. Would you be surprised? I mean, I guess, how do you take that question? And it's like last week where, how would you feel if someone who doesn't have a leg? How do you feel? I feel like they're coming out of the gate strong with these questions.
Good. I killed it.
You know, I think it's so great that they do that because... like, I don't want to call anything, like, baggage or whatever, but if something is, like, a non-negotiable for you in a relationship, you better put that out day one so that you can weed out all the people who aren't worthy of your time. Like, you should just put it out on the table. If you have something that you know is going to be a glaring, like, oh, someone might not be cool with this, I would just lay it out so that you don't have to deal with, like, falling in love with someone and then them finding out later and then, like, oh, well, I already invested all this time and energy and love and now it's not going to work out because of this one thing. So it's kind of like a good thing to kind of, like, get it out of the way and put it out there, I think.
I think it's great to ask these questions, but how genuine are their answers? Are they just going to say exactly what you want to hear? Yeah. You know, how can someone process that? If they're going into this thinking that they're meeting a single woman who doesn't have a child, doesn't have a lot of responsibility, and then they hear that... of course they're going to say the right thing. And
Sam, though, was very genuine.
It did feel genuine. But yeah, but what's he going to say? No, I'm not going to take care of your kid.
But there was, like, no pause. The words that he said, like, he would take her child in as his own.
Yeah.
I think if you're really not that into it, you just kind of be like, sure, I love your kid. And that's the end of it, you know? But he was really, like, thoughtful about it. And I think he knew.
He was
fine with it.
You're right. He was really sweet. But the thing that... like, I'm not trying to say he's inauthentic or, like, disingenuous. How can you say that if you don't know the person, though? Because I feel like it's definitely a case-by-case basis. It's not like, I'll be okay with anyone who has a kid. No, I'll be okay if it's the right person who has a kid. Mm-hmm. So for me, when someone says that, it's like, ugh. Like, that's why it was so cringeworthy to listen to Jeremy.
Well, he's answering, though, as if... he thinks that she's the right person,
but you
of course.
I don't feel like you should answer like that. It's like, if you're the right person, then I totally
I think
be
he's
down
just saying, if someone has a kid and I fall in love with you, like, I'm gonna fall in love with your kid too, and your kid's gonna become my own. Like, I would say, like, if someone asked me that question, I would say, yes, I wouldn't care if you had a kid. Like,
I mean, yes, but I do feel like it's to say it in that moment. And yes, I think you do have to love that person in order to fully commit, yes, I'm going to take care of you and your child. Like, how can he doesn't know how old the child is. Like, he doesn't know anything about anything. So
I don't think some people care. I think some people are just, I think because I don't, I wouldn't care if how old your kid was or how many kids you had. Mm-hmm. Like, if I loved you, then I would love your kids. Like,
and it seems like her dad was kind of confused about how many kids she had.
Oh, my goodness.
By saying she's got all these kids.
She's got several kids. Right. Like, wait, what?
He did a really terrible job of, like, advocating for his daughter. He's like, she's had a lot of failed relationships. Oh. Like, time. Like, what? Like, I
Why
would
wasn't
die.
The dad speaking? The mom should have been speaking.
I know. And I think, so I think
talking about people who kind of told her what she wanted to hear, I think Leo did that when asked about religion. And he's like,
I came
from this, and I think it's important, and if it's important to you, I care about...
He said he was a mixture of Catholic and Jewish.
He was
and if you heard of those
he
religions,
said he was raised that Catholic. Like, he said, I'm raised Catholic, but my dad's Jewish. And, you know, I don't really care for religion. It's not really important to me. I don't really believe in it. But, oh, yeah, it matters a lot to me if it matters a lot to you. Like, what? No.
And he said he was somewhere in the middle of Catholicism and Judaism.
That's
I'm interested. Did he just create a new religion? What is that?
Cthulhu.
I want to know, Leo.
Let's dive into that this
Sunday. Right.
Yeah.
Well, Scientology.
Scientology.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah,
there you go.
Thank you, Jeff Graham, in the booth. And you talked about meeting the parents. Last week we had the friend. This week is the parents.
Mm-hmm.
How important is meeting parents to knowing if someone is your significant other and getting that approval?
So important for me because I genuinely believe that when you marry someone, you marry their family.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like I see it as a union of two different families. So sometimes people will be like, well, I don't care if my mom doesn't approve, or I don't care if my dad doesn't approve. If this person's the one, they're the one. And I'm like, yeah, I totally respect that and get it. But at the same time, if you're someone like me who's super close to your family, you would want that blending of, like, if you get to have my mom as your mother-in-law, I want to get to have your mom as my mother-in-law, too. You know what I mean? Like, I want that second mom, too.
I'm going to play devil's advocate because I am married, and my husband is very introvert, and I'm very close to my family, and he's not close to my family.
Mm.
I'm close to his family, but it's just... For me, it's not a make or break. Of course, I want to love your family. Meeting the family is important, knowing where you come from. But in terms of the relationship, it's you and that person. So, I mean, it hasn't presented a problem for us. And I think that, you know, everyone's situation is different. So... That's what we're
Shanice in the chat says it's very important. She also agreed, said that Sam was very genuine, but that he seemed fake.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you, girl.
I get what you're saying, yeah.
So very important. Yeah, and I think it's... I think you can tell a lot from someone's parents, too. And I think certainly I was able to tell a lot from her parents tonight. They seemed like very just stand-up people, not flashy at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important. If I was one of the guys, like, I'd be like, oh, okay. So she comes from almost like a very down-to-earth family.
I got the vibe that the mom was the dominant one in the relationship.
Yeah, I can see that.
Even though her dad's a sheriff?
Yeah.
I didn't gather that at all.
I got that.
I think
even
outspoken.
Though the mom was quiet, I felt like she's the one who's like leading this relationship. She lets him do whatever and think like, okay, he's the one talking.
The woman is the neck, the man is the head, you know?
She's the backbone.
I think the parents definitely liked Sam because there was a reveal of Sam and Jordan in the final two. I think the parents went with Sam.
Oh, yes.
The parents for sure were into Sam. Like, I feel like there was a look of disappointment on their face when she chose Jordan. And I feel like even with her, she was like, oh, shit. Did I
when Sam answered, the dad said something like,
that's good.
Yeah, this guy, this nice Christian boy, loves Jesus, take his son in,
Well, I know.
And his parents did ask Jordan, so you haven't been committed for 9 years. What took so long for that commitment? And that's what scares me because this didn't end in a proposal. This ended him saying, let's go to Fiji and see if it works out. Like, that all sounds great. Yeah, I'm down for a vacation, but hello, this is called the proposal. Are we going to propose? Like, that's what we're here for.
Yeah, that's a huge topic I want to talk about is with Jordan, do you think he is committed? He said he was in a 9-year relationship. He was asked a question of, have you ever hurt someone? Yes. I didn't want to propose unless I found the X factor in this person. Do we think he's committed?
Here's the thing.
Uh-oh. One person who's Team Jordan.
I'm speaking to you Bachelor fans out there because anyone who's a Bachelor fan is probably, like, swooning over Peter Krause, who was my favorite Bachelor contender ever. And there was so much backlash with Peter from Rachel Lindsay's season because at the end of it, he did not want to propose because he felt like it was too fast, and he really wanted to get to know Rachel Lindsay outside of the entire show and the production to really see if it could work because he only wanted to get down on his knee once before proposing. Bachelor Nation flipped out. It was a very polarizing issue where people were like, you signed up for this show. You know what you're supposed to do at the end of it. And there were other people who were like, oh, Rachel, you only want a ring and a proposal? Isn't the person more important than the ring? And here's what I say to it, because I'm a huge Peter supporter. I love him. I genuinely think that I can respect what Peter did and what Jordan did, because what they did was they remained authentic to themselves. And I love that Jeff is pulling up the gorgeous man we have in front of us, Peter Krause. He's like phenomenally beautiful. But what I love about both of these people is that they remained authentic to themselves. They're not going to make a commitment that their heart is not in. And that's why I feel like when you say, is he committed? I'm like, yes. Jordan is committed to the process. But he's not going to put a ring on it.
They're on a show called The Proposal.
So you think that just because they're on the show The Proposal that they have to do a proposal at the end?
I don't think Jordan was that great of a guy.
Also, what is Jordan showing us? Jordan is showing us that he insinuated that he cheated.
Yes.
And that he's apologetic for that. Okay, he did something and he learned a life lesson from it.
I think it was cheating.
But, exactly. Mm-hmm. So he didn't say how he felt bad. He said it was the biggest mistake of his life. But he hurt that person. And I hope it wasn't the person that he was with for 9 years. Like,
Who else would it be? How old is he? Let's do, like, a mathematical analysis.
Peter, let me look here.
Jordan.
Jordan. Yeah, Jordan is 33 at a producer Los Angeles.
33 minus 9. Can someone do the math?
24.
So he was young. He was young. Fair. But still, everything that he's showing, you only have an allotted amount of time.
Well, he was young when he started the relationship.
Exactly.
9 years. Hello.
He's dragging his feet.
I'm not making an excuse for cheating because, honestly, if anyone ever cheated on me, I don't think I would take them back because that's, like, a huge breach of trust. But when you're a 24-year-old guy, like,
I don't want to accuse him of cheating. No. I think what could have happened is he maybe led her on, was how he hurt her. I don't know if it would be specifically cheating. And I don't have a problem with him not proposing at the end of the show. Even with Peter, I was not in disagreement with what he did. I just think the whole 9 year thing and then him kind of approaching this of, oh, well, let's do all the fun things in a relationship, go to Fiji, let's do all this other thing, but I don't want to actually get married and make that commitment. And I think that's where the red flags would be for me. Not necessarily him not wanting to propose after knowing the girl for an hour. Totally understand. But him like, let's go have fun and go to Fiji and do all these wonderful relationship things, but I'm not going to do this whole major relationship.
But I feel like Sam was like, yeah, I'll do everything. I'll take the kids as if they're my own. I'll get married to you. I'll do this. These are my parents. It's like, yeah, you say all these things, but it makes me feel like you would do that for any girl that presented themselves to you.
But with Jordan, it's almost like you're just taking a big leap of faith because he's like, I didn't commit to that relationship because I didn't find mad love and I didn't want to settle.
I don't like that
so
word.
Then how do you find that mad love? What is the definition of that?
Attraction, clearly. Like,
to me, that's like, lust kind of love that's going to burn out in 2 months.
Attraction comes
in. How important is attraction in a relationship,
though? It's huge.
Yeah.
It's 100%. But he's also talking about finding the X factor, and usually the X factor is something that you know right away. That X factor of like, wow, this person, I just know.
Fair.
That's not something you're like 8 years in. Well, next year, I think it's going to happen.
No, I get what you're saying, but I do think that sometimes you don't feel the X factor right away, but once you get to know more about them, that X factor can develop where it's like this intangible quality that you can't put your finger on, that you're like, oh, this is my person because we have some crazy chemistry going on, whether it's intellectual chemistry, emotional chemistry, you know, like some sort of familiarity.
I just feel like with Jordan, you're walking a fine line and she just better protect herself.
He just seems flimsy to me.
He does.
Like a 9 year relationship. You know in 9 years whether you like that person or not.
That was the mistake that he made. Remember he said the hardest decision he had to make was kind of like saying no to that relationship and having it come to a close.
Are we going to agree to disagree about Jordan?
I think we're agreeing to disagree. You can go into the chat. Suze B and Shanice, both fans of Peter, both fans of Jordan. And I love Shanice pulls out that Jennifer Hudson was engaged for almost a decade and that didn't work out.
True.
So that she understands Jordan, although there were allegations of cheating.
Right. Among other things.
During that. Yes. So does it also compare to Jordan in that regard? We shall see. The reveal, I think the final speeches, I think I was shocked. I mean, I really thought that Sam, and I don't know, I guess the question, how do you recover from that?
Here's the thing, though. When you heard Jordan's speech first, you heard all the ahs and oohs in the audience. Did you think that, like, before you even heard Sam's speech, were you like, Jordan has this in the bag?
I thought he had it pretty high. But then he pulled out, Sam pulled out the video.
Yeah. Which how is that fair? I mean,
there's no rules.
Jordan didn't know that he could do that.
Creative enough.
All is fair in love and war.
Yes.
But I also felt like Sam too was kind of using his parents' relationship to kind of get, because he said it twice. In the first question, when she asked, you know, tell me about yourself, he brought out the picture of his family. Then he did the video. So it's like, okay, dude, like, we get it. You love your family. Tell us more. Tell us something else.
You know, that's
are you like
that
trading
they do?
Sides right now?
I'm just all over the place.
You know, that's something that
I don't know how to feel.
They do that a lot in the Bachelor franchise as well. Like every single Bachelor episode, whenever it's down to like the final like four, final five, they're always like, yeah, you know, I just want to love like the love that my parents have. They've been married for 50 years and they're so happy. You never have like a couple that's like, yeah, my parents got divorced at two.
Right.
And like, you know, I don't have a dad or mom, but like, blah, blah, blah. I mean, that's happened a couple times.
Well, and love can happen in those circumstances as
well. They can, but that's what I'm saying. There's always like, that show format has like this very like picturesque idea of like what love should be, and like, oh, if you had parents that were married for this many years, well, clearly you know what love is and you want the same thing. So like, I don't know, like, I feel like he did really overdo that, like, oh, my parents this and my parents that, but that's like what he knows and
I
what
think he's
he
just
wants.
A wholesome guy and loves his family and
boy.
His
he's
faith,
cute.
And he's just a great guy.
He is honestly like so freaking cute.
I hope he finds someone.
Wow.
I feel so bad for him.
Well,
maybe she ends up with him. Who knows? Maybe.
Well,
that would be crazy.
Hey, it's happened on The Bachelor where they switched it. So,
they have.
You
Molly
know, after
Jason.
After the final ring on the proposal, we'll see maybe at the end of the season if they do one of those. Going into this with the girl tonight, did we think that she was going to be doing the proposing? And what are your thoughts as ladies on doing the proposing versus being proposed to?
The only reason I knew she wouldn't be doing the proposing is because when you compare this show to the Bachelor franchise, the Bachelorette always has, for whatever reason, both guys get down on a knee and always says no to one of them, which I think is just, like, horrible, but it's great for TV and ratings, whatever. but I knew that she wouldn't, and I don't think there's anything wrong with a female proposing.
Do you think we'll see one before the season is out?
No.
I think we will.
Well, this is my question. The Neil Lane diamond rings, are they for males and females? Because if she's proposing to him, she would need a ring for him,
right?
She would need a ring, and he'd probably give her one back.
Exactly. So then I'm wondering how that would play out as well if a woman does end up proposing. Mm-hmm. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Go after what you want, girl. If you see a man you want, go get it.
Reminds me of Gilmore Girls with Lorelai, if you guys ever watched
that. Yes, I am a big fan, and I didn't like that either.
Yeah, no, I get it. You kind of want to feel like you're being pursued when you're a woman.
Right.
Well, it depends on everyone, though.
The rings that were given out last week, Mike gave one to Monica. That was certainly taking over social media. Lauren, what else was going on social media this week?
Okay, I have a few updates on Mike and Monica.
Okay, let's hear it.
We can't forget about them. I have a video from the proposal Twitter account, if we can pull that up.
Ooh.
Oh,
they're so cute.
It's coming. Jeff Graham working hard in the booth.
This was posted 6 days ago on Twitter.
Worth the wait. Here we go. One, guys.
You guys never thought anything like this would happen in like a million years. Never thought I'd be on television. Never thought I'd get down on one knee and propose to somebody in under an hour. But
me either.
It happened. And got to meet this beautiful gal. So we're having a good time and, you know, we're excited for what the future has in store for us. So.
Definitely. Can't wait to get that ring.
See you guys.
Okay, so in the video, she doesn't have the ring, which I'm assuming that it was because they were still undercover, and so obviously she can't be walking around wearing a ring. But later that day, the proposal account tweeted again pictures of Monica and Mike with the ring on. There's a couple of them.
Aww.
So she did get that ring that day.
She did get that Neil Lane diamond.
And they're actually at the Universal City Walk right there.
Oh,
I'm just
at that
restaurant.
They're so perfect. They look so good.
I know,
together.
They look super happy. Cute. So we can see that they're still happy as of today, because Monica posted this morning on her Instagram account a picture of Mike and her, and she said, "Chilling in Hawaii, wishing Crow Bocop was here. Also excited to see the next episode of The Proposal tonight."
Aww.
So
and
they're so
it's
happy.
2 months. 2 months, they
yeah,
said at the beginning of this. So
it's been a while. 2 months.
Yeah. I mean, for them, they got engaged in an hour or so, you know?
Fair.
For them, it's been a long time.
The first 2 months are the hardest.
Yeah,
right?
Right.
Isn't that what they say?
Hey, I have the highest hopes for them, okay?
Yes. Where, you know, we only want the best for both Mike and Monica together. Going on to the news that happened in the past week, what are people saying about, obviously, the huge bombshell, but also just their reaction to the first episode?
So, the reaction to the first episode, Pop Sugar says, ABC's new dating show is so absurd, people can't stop comparing it to Black Mirror, which
interesting.
I thought was a little bizarre. One fan said, ABC is trolling us right now. This has to be a joke. Hashtag the proposal. And another said, if you think I'm going to watch this ridiculous Maris pageant, you are absolutely right. So it sounds like we're kind of in the middle.
You're absolutely right. Yeah.
In regards to everything that happened that we talked about at the top of the episode, creator Mike Fleiss tweeted, how are we supposed to find out about something that's never been reported? He got a lot of backlash for that. A lot of people were tweeting, let's do background checks. Like, can you get some more information on them? After that, he clarified, for the record, I'm horrified that any of these abusive a-holes are on our shows. We're working very hard to find ways to do better. And in response to that, people were just saying that it took them too long to get back to and address the issue. And if you remember, if you are a Bachelor or Bachelorette fan, they have Lincoln Adim. He was a contestant on The Bachelorette.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And he was convicted of indecent assault and battery last month. Mm-hmm. So it seems to be a pattern of questionable characters. I know with reality shows, I've tried out for some, they don't really do a deep, thorough background check. Basically, they just go off of what you tell them. So it's, you know, it really makes you question how safe are these people.
Interesting. And I wonder how much that played a role in them pulling this episode based on the fact that one of their, you know, premiere shows, long-running shows, had a contestant that was actually convicted. I mean, that says a lot. So I certainly think they didn't take any chances. And again, better safe than sorry. Mm-hmm. The special segment time, I'm very excited. We're talking about this. A compatibility quiz.
Yes.
You know, this is an hour of trying to figure out your compatibility. Maybe if you have more than an hour or just an hour to get together with someone.
Yeah.
Mina, you have some questions that can help.
I do. And I feel like these are questions that they should implement in the proposal. A lot of people are super skeptical. They're like, you know, the show, The Proposal, is it possible to really find love on a show where you're just, like, getting to know someone in that short period of time? People say the same thing about the Bachelor franchise, but boy, do I have the perfect solution of something that will make you fall in love in 45 minutes. And
all
I know
right.
I totally sound like Dr. Oz right now.
We're believers.
This is some sketch, like, illegitimate type of thing. But no, definitely. Yeah, no. Not Alex Trebek, but so this is a psychological test that was put together by a psychologist named Arthur Aaron. He was a pretty prominent psychologist in the 90s, and this is when he actually came up with this. He went to school at UC Berkeley, and he's done a lot of research when it comes to, like, falling in love and creating, like, intimate relationships. So he came up with 36 questions that take approximately 45 minutes to ask your partner. And whether or not this person is, like, a platonic friend, a random stranger, or someone you've actually been in a relationship for a while with, you can actually build, like, a lasting connection and real intimacy with this person and even become closer than you had ever anticipated was possible.
All right, what do we got for questions here?
So for questions,
some of the 36.
It starts out from the most basic questions to more intimate questions as you go along. So just like a few of them, it starts off with number one, given the choice of anyone in the world, whom would you want as a dinner guest? Number two, would you like to be famous and in what way? Mm. And everyone's like, no, no, just Insta-famous.
Lies.
And then it goes on, like, question 13, if a crystal ball could tell you the truth about yourself, your life, the future, or anything else, what would you want to know? Which I think is actually a really interesting question. And then as we keep going down the line, I'm just going to do a few more. Question number 24, how do you feel about your relationship with your mother?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah, and question number, let's find another good one. Number 27, if you were going to become a close friend with your partner, please share what would be important for him or her to know. And
I like 30 there.
30? When did you last cry in front of another person? And then when did you last cry by yourself?
Man.
Which I feel is a super vulnerable question.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then finally, the very last question, share a personal problem and ask your partner's advice on how he or she might handle it. Also, ask your partner to reflect back to you how you seem to be feeling about the problem you have chosen. So man, a lot of, like, interesting questions there. There's a pretty good mix.
True story. I was in a serious relationship with a girl, and we went for a hike, and she had these questions, and we talked them over on the hike. I was not prepared. I am glad we did it. It was a good, I thought it was a good experience.
How?
I'm glad we were doing something else like hiking instead of just like sitting at dinner. But I think it definitely, I thought, gave us more perspective of each other.
How long had you guys been dating when you did this?
Oh, about a year.
Oh,
and
okay.
Then you broke up,
yeah,
right after?
No, we dated another like 6 months.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not even joking. I've actually done this pretty early on, and it's given me a pretty good idea of how someone is. Yeah.
Have you just done it and been like, nope, not the one?
I've literally been
like,
did
you prepare them, or did you just start asking questions? They're like, where are you going with
this
here?
Honestly, I feel like when I get to know people, like sometimes the interviewer in me comes out already where I'm like, oh, like, tell me about that. That's super interesting. And I just get, like, really inquisitive and, like, stare into your soul. So I have, like, a good radar on, like,
Suze B says, question 16, what do you value most in a friendship? I mean, apparently, Suze B, I don't know if you've used this before. Be interested to hear your take on if it was successful and what you learned. Looking ahead to next week, let's do some predictions.
AfterBuzz TV predictions.
I do this just so I can hear that, which is just such a fantastic voiceover.
Fair.
What do you guys think? Obviously, I think we're going back to a guy next time being hidden. The first two, they had a guy. I want to say they had a guy who had a prosthetic leg. They had a girl who had a child. I mean this in the best way possible. Are they going, you think, for these not traditional people? Do you think we'll see another one of those next time? Do you think, what do you think about the next person?
Yeah, I think that's actually a really good point. It kind of goes along with what we were saying last week about how they have people that are in their 30s. I think they are looking for the unconventional person to date. Mm-hmm. And I think it's cool that they're featuring different people, people with children, because it's real life.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to predict a proposal.
Yeah,
I just want it to happen again.
Well, and we saw,
and I think with one guy and more girls, I think that more proposals will happen for some reason. I don't. I think girls are more willing to say yes sometimes.
Yeah,
like I think like the guys are like, whoa, commitment. That's a little scary. I'm gonna take you to Fiji. Like, but the girls are like, all girls. I think most girls want to be in relationships and get married, and you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, let's do
more hopeless romantics, probably.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
Yeah, so I think, well, I saw in the preview that we're going to get to see some singing, too. So I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Yes.
A woman had a guitar, so now we're bringing instruments into this
thing.
Oh,
and I saw a familiar face. Scallop Fingers.
Oh!
From The Bachelor,
Scallop Fingers.
Yes. And she was on Bachelor in Paradise, and now she is on The Proposal, I guess.
So I just wonder if they get, like, a leg up because they've already been on another show. Like,
right.
Are there things that she knows that the other contestants don't?
Third time's the charm?
I know.
There she goes.
I hope so.
Maybe. Yeah, Jeff Graham's pulling her up. What are your thoughts, Mina?
Oh,
you got any predictions?
You know, we did actually see some familiar faces in the audience tonight. You know, we saw Jared Haven, Ashley's fiance. We saw him in the audience for like a split second sitting next to Dean. At Dini B. Yep. Dini on Instagram. Yep. Yeah. Scallop Fingers. Yes.
There's the picture.
Yeah, I never knew her by her nickname. I know who that is, though. Yeah. But anyway, no predictions for me. Like, I just feel like it's going to be a really good episode.
We're
going to see, like, I think we're going to see bolder women who are, like, going to woo the men. Because, like, a woman singing a song to a guy, that's, like, yeah.
I have a prediction that we're going to see a younger person. Because I think Mike was in his mid-30s. She was around 30, if I remember correctly. I think we're going to see someone younger. Maybe someone mid-20s, mid to early 20s. Kind of switch it up a little bit. But we'll wait and see. Until next week, you guys can find me on Instagram and on Twitter at TheOnlyMC. Ladies, where can they find you?
Hey, everyone. I'm Mina. And you can find me on Instagram at MinaMakesMagic. You can also follow me tomorrow. We're actually doing the season finale of Genius Picasso, and it airs at AfterBuzz TV at 7 p.m., so stay tuned to that.
Thank you so much for tuning in, you guys. You can find me on Instagram at Lauren Ashley Beck.
Thanks, everyone. You can find me at Lauren T. Pacheco on Instagram and Twitter.
And everyone in the chat, thank you so much for joining. Shanice and Suze B, definite shout out to you guys. If you listen to this on Apple Podcasts, we're live every single Monday at 8:15 p.m. Pacific time. Love to have you guys join us in the chat. Give us your live reactions to this crazy, crazy show. Thank you very much for watching. We'll see you next time.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.